In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I've been listening to a fascinating podcast by a man called Justin Brierley. The name of the podcast is The Surprising Rebirth of Belief in God. It has titles like Surprised by God, Three Ways to Welcome the Returning Tide of Faith. As Justin Brierley says, there is a meaning crisis in the modern world, and this is leading many 21st century people to reconsider Christian faith. And there is much evidence for rebirth of belief in God in the UK and beyond, leading to a real upturn in people going to church. Now, in this podcast series, which I do highly recommend, we hear interviews with many secular and many Christian thinkers, and they tell stories about their spiritual journeys, which have led them to a variety of spiritual homes, and especially to churches that have beautiful liturgies that celebrate and speak of the transcendence and the mystery of God. No, they're not just attracted to churches with loud, happy music, but to deep, rich liturgies. Many today in the church, including I think here at St John's, are anxious about the future of the church, particularly in an increasingly secular society. And this can sometimes lead to all sorts of efforts to grow congregations, to grow the church. But as Christos Yannaris, a Greek theologian, has said, Christianity is not a religion. It is life. The church is not an institution, but a community where you grow in life, he said. And I think this is very important when we're tempted to think of the church as a struggling institution that has to get recruits to manage its image in the world. And I think the more we do to market our product, so to speak, the less it may look like life and the more it communicates anxiety. And there is a real difference between saying, come to church because we will die without you, we're going to disappear unless you join us, and saying, on the other hand, come to church and you will live, you will know what true life is about. Well, what is true life about? We certainly cannot romanticise the true life of faith. In the first Kings reading today, Elijah keeps trying to point this out to Elisha. Look, you don't know what it is you're asking for, he says to him. You don't know the implications of what you are asking. Now, there's a somewhat comical back and forth where Elijah keeps trying to put Elisha off, in a way perhaps, to test him. But I think underneath all that is a very serious statement about how the life of faith calls us to something that we can't view through a romantic lens. In our gospel reading today from Luke, we learn something about how true life is found in following Jesus, what we might call discipleship. Right here in the middle of Luke's Gospel, where we've just read from, is the beginning of Jesus' travel narrative on his way to Jerusalem. And his disciples, of course, are on the journey with him. The passage opens with the phrase, "Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem." And this is really a metaphor for resolutely walking towards the cross and not away from it. The cross is like a shadow that will now loom over the rest of the gospel. But there's an initial hiccup for Jesus and the disciples on the way to Jerusalem. What is it? Well, they're prevented from making their way through Samaria that they're about to go through. And it appears that this is due to a long-standing state of hostility between the two groups, Jews and Samaritans. And when the clear purpose of Jesus' journey is to go to Jerusalem and the temple, well, then the Samaritans close the border to this group. Now, of course, later Jesus will challenge any stigmatizing stereotype that we might have of Samaritans with his famous parable of the Good Samaritan. But right at this point, the rejection of the Jewish group inflames the disciples, particularly James and John. "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Now, today in our modern times, some might say in such a situation, "Shall we call in an airstrike or drones or long-range artillery?" But in the language of that time, it's fire from heaven. Now, really, this seems to be a massive overreaction on the part of the disciples to being shunned by the Samaritans. Their response to rejection? To rain down violence. And Jesus rebukes that reaction strongly. "It's completely unacceptable," he says. The New Testament scholar Brendan Byrne says, "Jesus rebukes this sense of righteous anger that when we feel affronted and wronged, we are justified to enact violence against others." But unfortunately, we do see that reaction too often, don't we? In domestic violence situations, as well as nation against nation. And of course, Jesus himself is going to eventually suffer similar violence from those who feel affronted by him. And now, following on in the gospel story today, we have some of the reactions of those who feel called or are called by Jesus to follow. As we know, the gospel stories of Jesus are radical and even very uncomfortable often. No one really ever gets being a disciple quite right. Some think that what Jesus says is nonsense. Others find it all too difficult. Some commit themselves and then go missing when it all gets too hard. Others want to delay to settle things at home first, perhaps down the track somewhere when, you know, I feel ready to move on and leave the family. Some make compromises. They only follow at night. So I think the question for us from this gospel reading today is, are we disciples? If we are disciples of Jesus and following him closely, then we will want to make Jesus the centre of our lives. We find in him the way to answer all the large questions in our lives. We recognise that God is present in Jesus. And yes, we are often weak, make compromises and fail. But if we keep the flame of desire to follow Jesus alight, then we keep asking, how would Jesus like me to live as his disciple? The Jesuit priest and scholar Andrew Hamilton says that sometimes following Jesus is like a game of snakes and ladders. We all know that old game, don't we? For every ladder we climb, a snake of our weakness or failure takes us down again. But the wonderful news is that God, who loves us, always invites us to climb back up again. Andy Hamilton goes on to say, being a disciple means that our heart is captured by Jesus, that we have a big heart, yes, an ordinary human capacity for weakness and betrayal, but our big desire to love as we are loved. And that love is infectious. So we want to follow Jesus in giving our lives generously for others. Being a disciple also takes us places that we might not have wanted to go. Just like Jesus had to set his face to go to Jerusalem, to the cross. Discipleship, says Bishop Rowan Williams, is a state of being. Discipleship is about how we live, not just the decisions we make, not just the things we believe, but a state of being. And this state of being, we read something about in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians today. It displays the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We have already been given the Holy Spirit to guide us in our travelling with Jesus, and the Spirit gives energy and intimacy to our relationship with Christ and enables us to respond to God's love. So where are you on this journey with Jesus as a disciple? Are you at a searching stage, perhaps? You wonder if there is more to life than what you have. You wonder if there are ways to experience God. How might you do that? You find the life and teachings of Jesus intriguing and appealing. Or perhaps you are at an exploring stage. You feel drawn to the story of God's love and begin to explore the scriptures, particularly the life of Jesus, who captures your imagination. And you start to explore prayer. How might you talk to God? Perhaps you have taken the next step and responded to the invitation and call to follow Jesus with all your heart. Or you might have done all that and you are now in a growing and maturing stage of discipleship, exploring ways in which to make more time daily for your spiritual practice, exploring ways in which to use your gifts, your talents, your passions in God's service. Or perhaps you invite others to explore the life and teachings of Jesus. Or you might encourage others to intentionally give generously to the work of the kingdom of God. But now a word of warning. Ultimately, the journey with Jesus as a disciple can be costly. It may demand of you more than you can imagine at this point. It is an open journey. You don't know where it will lead, It is challenging to be included among Jesus' followers, and it may be at the expense of other things that you thought were important to you. So the life of faith is definitely not a romantic one, but it is the only one worth living. Amen.